everybody. Welcome to the Art of Thriving podcast. Learn with us as we journey toward health and growth, thriving in all areas of life. We aren't experts, but man, we are learning a ton along the way. My name is Matt McComas, and I am joined by my lovely wife,
Jody McComas. And I like to consider myself the lucky half, not the better half.
Stop it. Stop it. Anyway, thanks for joining us. It's our first attempt at a podcast. Fully expect it to be weird and humorous and hopefully honest as well. So neither of us, I think this is true, neither of us really like talking about ourselves. Is that true?
Not really. Although I do like to be understood. So I guess that that requires some sharing and being vulnerable, which I'm a fan of.
Yep, absolutely. So we're starting a podcast. How do you feel about it?
I think this should be interesting. And you just set the bar really low in the introduction about awkwardness.
We keep the expectations real around here and honest. Okay, so you'll get a little bit of everything with us. We're going to do a little bit of McComas family updates on life and what we're experiencing. We're going to talk maybe a little nugget of truth that we're learning and thinking about. And hopefully something that's practical on the way too. But what's going on in our lives? We've done a lot in the last couple of weeks. It's been the start of school. It's the fall season. There is politics. Maybe we shouldn't talk about that on the first episode.
Yeah, maybe let's save that for the next time.
we painted our door.
That's right.
Front door.
Our front door.
Exterior.
Because we wanted to join the colorful population of Portland and have a vibrant front door instead of a boring white one. And that was an experience.
Yeah, we're creative around here. So what color is it?
Turquoise. A shade of turquoise.
So our house is yellow, right?
Yes, yellow? A dull yellow.
Dull yellow.
It's not vibrant.
With some black and white. So we went with the turquoise door. I'm not convinced.
He's not convinced, but the young girls in the neighborhood love it. Yeah. They think it's beautiful.
Let's just say that the young girls in the neighborhood really like it. So glad.
And I like it as well. Depending on the light, not my favorite color, but choosing a color is a lot harder than you might think.
Yeah, it's a recipe for marital conflict. We won't talk about that yet either. We'll get there eventually.
Oh, we did great. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
And now we have a painted stag or something, as someone called it, to go with it. So we also have a turquoise stag. So let's talk about that.
Let's
you like a stag in our house. A miniature one. Not even a big one.
Oh, man. This is going downhill very quickly. So I picked up a miniature deer head with antlers. It's like fake, and it has a magnet in the back so you can stick it to the fridge. And I painted it the same color as our front door. It's turquoise.
He keeps trying to put above our windows or our door in awkward places in the house.
I really want it to go in our living room or be on the outside of our house. So when people leave our house, they look right at it. It's like on the underhang of the of the roof. So it kind of scares people a little bit. But we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, come on over. See where you find the elk or buck or stag, whatever you want to call it.
Okay, so the other very important dominating scheduling factor in our lives is soccer Saturdays.
Oh, soccer Saturdays.
So let's back up a little
Monday,
bit.
Soccer Monday, Wednesday, Friday.
I played soccer all growing up through high school. Loved it. Favorite game to play. Still play it every now and then, although I get sore really easily because I'm out of shape. But our kids enjoy it too, and they started playing on a team. They've done some camps before, but they started playing on a team this year. Teams, separate teams, on Saturdays, right?
Yeah.
So how do you feel about soccer Saturdays? Let's be honest. This is your time to be vulnerable.
Let's just say that I am a bad soccer mom. I maybe suck it up at being a soccer mom. So,
what do you mean by bad soccer mom?
Well, I value being home in the evenings, and practice during the week is right from 5 to 6, which I'm not a fan of. and adds a little chaos to our week. And I liked having our Sabbath on Saturday, and now I don't feel all Sabbathed when I have to go to
Sabbath.
I just made it a thing. And I don't feel that way when I'm going to soccer games in the rain.
Yeah, it does rain here. It is hit and miss. But our kids love it, and...
Well, the jury's still out with Isaac.
I think, yeah, Isaac...
You never know what
Isaac is our, likes. So, for those of you that don't know us, like, we have a big audience.
That's right, my mom.
Yeah.
And your mom.
Moms. We have a 6-year-old boy, first grader, and a 9-year-old girl. So, a 9-year-old girl kind of gets soccer. She's getting into it, and the team is just starting to learn how to really play. But our it's like 3-on-3, and it's just, it's painful to watch. But our kid is, he's like the most athletic kid I know, and he breaks stuff in our house all the time because he's so rambunctious and shakes the walls. But as soon as he gets on the soccer field, he's like space cadet. He's just like looking around and...
And timid.
So when we like asked he's afraid him, he of said, hurting well, people or something.
I don't want to get kicked in the shins.
I was like,
yeah, that's logic.
I was like, you kick me in the shins every morning.
It's true, but he doesn't like to be kicked back.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm not sure what's going on with that. I don't know if 6-year-old being 6 is too young. I don't know. Jury's still out. But our kids love, it's good for them to get outside, run around for sure. And it's good, I think it's good for them to learn how to relate with the team.
All those things are true. I like that part. My inner competitive nature also hates to watch my young kids get beat on the field.
Okay,
pummeled.
Yeah. The boys aren't doing very well. The girls, I think, are one win, one loss, and one tie, I think. But so something about me that I've learned is I think my inner coach has gotten a little too intense sometimes. Like, I want them to get it faster than they do. So I want to teach more, and it's hard for me to have reasonable expectations for them. Thankfully, my daughter puts up with me pretty good. My son wants nothing to do with me teaching him about anything related to any game at this point, for the most part.
Yeah, it's not just you. That's most people.
Yeah, exactly. So Soccer Saturdays are a thing for another month or so.
Yep.
And the fall. It's a great time of year, right?
It is. It is for a lot of reasons. It's a great time of year.
Okay. What else is going on with us? What have we done lately? We went to a concert. Let's talk about this for a minute. Let's talk about how awkward it is to go to concerts at Christian churches. We have a Christian faith background for sure. We'll talk about that along the way, but, I don't love going to concerts at churches because I never know if you're supposed to like stand up and kind of worship along with people or if you're just there to enjoy the music and it's strange. It just feels like I can't fully engage. I don't know. What about you?
Well, and you never know what to expect. And sometimes I get up and give a sermon, and I didn't go for that. I love the art of music and just kind of getting lost in it and the words and sitting back and enjoying it and be a participant in a way to enjoy the art of it and not feel like I'm forced into a spiritual message, I guess.
Spiritual messages.
And I'm all about spiritual messages. I mean, we've been in ministry. I love those things, but I guess I wasn't expecting it at a concert.
I know, but isn't it weird? Well, here, let's talk about this for a second. It was freezing cold. So it was a band that we like. It was called All Sons and Daughters. Great band, great music, very creative, incredible musicians. But I wanted to just listen to them, and pay attention to the music and the art and the, you know, have some emotion attached to it. But it was freezing in the auditorium.
Yep. It was so cold. I couldn't fully enjoy myself. Thought I might die of hypothermia before I left.
So what's the deal with people that control the temperature in places like that? Is there people that do that?
Yeah, there are. There are people.
And that guy was doing a poor job that night.
Yeah, that was hard. That was hard for me.
Everyone was freezing. Okay. That's what we've been up to.
But why did we go to the concert? Because I wanted us to have a date night.
Oh,
because
yeah.
Because that date night is one thing that we value. We value date nights. And those are hard to get when you have young kids. And so Anyways, I had bought tickets thinking that we were going to have a great date night. And
you're great.
And it was great. It was good to get away. It was just a little challenging. Not quite what we expected.
It was a little chilly.
That's right.
Mostly. I enjoyed the music.
About 2 hours to thaw out afterwards.
It was a little cold. date nights. Our date nights often turn into like shopping at Target. Is that true? Maybe not so much anymore. We haven't done
that. Well, that was when we lived in Montana and there was nowhere else to go. That's when we went to Target and Costco.
That's true.
Let's be honest. In Portland, there are a lot more exciting things to do.
Absolutely. We live in Portland, by the way. Portland, Oregon, the great city of Portland, Oregon. Which makes me think of politics. Maybe this is too controversial, but let's just be honest. I feel like I'm a nomad right now when it comes to politics. I am caught in between, somewhere in between my ultra-conservative friends and my ultra-liberal friends. I don't know. This is really hard. So we won't get into it too much, but the other night we did watch the first debate, the presidential debate.
Which was an extra credit for our daughter.
For our 9-year-old daughter. So she wanted to watch it and just began to wonder how to help my daughter engage with this and not be polarized too much and not think that everyone relates to one another like what we saw in the debate. So it's difficult.
When you're ranting about how stupid one side or the other is, you're actually forgetting that there's a human behind that statement and you're alienating them and pushing them away. No one's very good at listening right now.
Yeah. I actually heard somebody last night. I went to something that was a state representative from Washington actually was speaking, and he quoted somebody and he talked about the most important thing he's learned is not judging someone based on what they believe. Just the idea that they are a human. And you can relate to them. They're relational. And those conversations are meant to be had in a relationship. And that's how faith and politics can intertwine. It's an interesting thought for sure. And I don't feel like it's fully formed in my brain yet. But
it's easy for me to talk about calmly right now. But when I'm on Facebook and someone says something that I do not agree with or I think is just outright stupid, I I go to a bad place.
So let's. So one variable of this that you all should know is that our son, Isaac, is adopted. Great. It's a great story. We'll share more about that sometime. But he is a biracial background. So when you start talking about ethnicity and race relations in our country, hits home pretty closely, and it's real for us, and how do we teach him and shape him and shape our family in a way that is honoring to the different cultures that are represented through him. So very personal. We could talk a lot about that, but we're not going to go there today. Okay, I do want to talk about one thing. This first couple podcasts, we're going to discuss our values. So we've actually made a list of values. It's probably a working document, I guess. But we kind of have five or six kind of buckets of values, and they all have different titles and then kind of subcategories. And we'll introduce all of those at some point. But the first one that I wanted to just highlight is, in light of this art of thriving and journeying toward kind of health and wholeness and thriving relationally, spiritually, emotionally, those sort of things. We've had quite a journey in that, by the way, the last couple of years. But the first thing that I want to talk about is just our commitment. We have this phrase called live differently. This phrase is kind of taken on some depth of meaning for us and how we talk about our family and how we explain who we are to our kids, just the idea that we're going to be different in a lot of ways from the world around us, from people around us, and what the common kind of culture says. So where did that even come from? Like, I don't remember.
I don't either. I'm not entirely sure.
Okay, so what does that mean for you?
Oh, geez. What does that mean for me? Well, I think that I don't just want to go with the flow. I don't like to do things
just because... You want to paint your door turquoise?
Yeah. I don't do things just because everyone else is doing them. I've never been that way. I'm actually kind of trying to do the opposite of that. I have issues in relation authority to that. Issues. I have authority issues.
Yeah, this is, go we're trying to issues. Switch that authority issues into something positive to live differently.
But in light of, I mean, even just faith in Christ makes you different. And so we know that we have to live differently, and it's going to look different from a large majority of culture and even Christian culture. I feel like we fight that. And how, you know, we just assume everyone should live. But prioritizing, being present, investing in people, and doing what's best, you know, for our family and not just because someone else says so.
So it's interesting you say that. So it's living differently than kind of the world around us, common culture, like Portland culture. But it's also potentially living differently than kind of the Christian subculture as well, which... I don't think there's any judgment on my part related to that, but I get tired of being kind of, if I only live within that Christian subculture, then I just don't, I don't feel good about myself. I don't know what the words are. I don't enjoy it. I'm not energized by it. I want to engage different viewpoints, different worldviews, different economic backgrounds, that sort of stuff. I think the other thing for me is we tend to compare ourselves to one another or to other people, to our neighbors, to classmates, families, all those things. So
Coworkers.
So just recognizing so finding that by recognizing that we are going to be different and that we're going to be who we uniquely are made to be and embracing that.
Yep.
I think is super important for me personally.
Yep. I mean, that's a huge part of it, is what makes us unique and what are we passionate about, and living that out and being okay with it, even though it might look different than someone else's passion and value. I mean, that's why we're all meant to be different for a reason. Like it adds value.
Yeah. So real practically though, what does that do for us as a family, when we think about, okay, we want to live out this value, who we are uniquely made, we're made to be a little bit different than those around us. What does that mean?
Great question. Well, even things like we've just never done traditionally like more than one activity for our kids, because we know that uniquely, Jenna is an introvert to the core, and having more than one activity during the week exhausts her. So even just knowing that and valuing that in her and letting her have time at home, or
which brings us back to soccer Saturdays.
Sure does bring us back to soccer Saturdays, but just knowing that and knowing how we're wired, and in a culture and a world that values being busy and on the go all the time, and fighting against that. I mean, I fight against that because I fill up my schedule to the brim, but I don't actually function well when
Let's talk about that. You filling up your schedule to the brim. This is
talk about that.
Well, this is an area where I think understanding what you value as a family and as individuals, it helps you make decisions about that calendar, right? About your scheduling.
It does.
Still hard.
Yep. And for a long time, I had to post up on our fridge 4 questions I had to ask myself before I was allowed to say yes to something, because I was your yes man. Like, I did not know how to say no.
What were those questions? I don't remember.
I actually have a blog post about it. I wrote a blog post about it. But it was, what am I saying no to as a result of saying yes? Have I talked with my spouse about this? What does he think? Will someone else be blessed or capable of doing this if you don't? Or basically, am I stealing the blessing from someone else by saying that I'll do it? Like, give the opportunity to someone else.
Like, you want to give that PTA role, president role away. Somebody else can be blessed with that role.
That's right. I definitely want someone else
to be blessed. We have a hard time with PTA roles, just so you know.
Oh, man. I'll get there.
I won't get there.
But we do value being a presence in our kids' schools.
Absolutely. I just don't want to run meetings. That's all.
Yeah. Yeah. We like to be present in other ways. So even just weighing that, like, what do we want our investment to be? And not just saying yes to everything that comes our way, because there are a lot of really good things to say yes to, but what's the best for us?
Yep, absolutely. So things like calendars looks different, how we spend our time, what our vacations look like, what our house looks like, probably. simple, and rest. I think rest is the other big one, like, and that's part of the calendar for sure. But it's something we're learning a lot, especially over the last 3 or 4 years after going through really a pretty big season for me, at least a big season of burnout, and recognizing that rhythms of rest were not a part of my weekly, daily, monthly, ongoing schedule.
Yep. Oh, we were both burnout. And a lot of that has to do with being in jobs where you're constantly giving, or it's revolved around other people, because there's always a need to fill. And it's easy to put other people before yourself.
And it's real easy to make it look spiritual too, which is a whole nother topic of conversation right now. But we are out of time for the day. That 20 minutes went by fast.
Maybe for us. I don't know if it went fast for everyone else.
If you stuck with us, thanks for listening. We're going to talk more about our family values and how we operate and what we're thinking about journeying toward health and thriving in life and helping our kids do the same as well. We're going to talk more about those in the coming weeks. The stuff like hospitality, freedom, generosity, faithfulness, lots of good things. Again, the Art of Thriving podcast. Thanks for listening. You can check out our website, theartofthriving.net. Although I must preface it by saying it's still in the beginning stages of construction, so there's not a ton on there. May not be worth your time yet, but
we're always a work in progress around here.
This is the problem.
Under construction.
Under construction all the time. And you can always find us on Facebook and Twitter as well. We'd love to hear from you. Thanks for listening. Thanks for putting up with our awkward first episode. We appreciate you all. Thanks, guys.
See you next time.